So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 11, Calculation of Time from the Atom, Texts 26, 27, and 28. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the creation, during Brahma's day, the three planetary systems, Svarga, Marcha, and Patala, revolve. And the inhabitants, including the lower animals, human beings, demigods, and pitas, appear and disappear in terms of their furtive activities. Text 27. Manvatareshu Bhagavan, Bidratsatvana Samurtivihi, Manvadiviridan Vishvam, Abhat Yudita Parvashaha. In each and every change of Manu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears by manifesting His internal potency in different incarnations as Manu and others. Thus He maintains the universe by discovered power. Text 28. Tamo matram upadhaya prati samrudha vikramaha kalena nugata astesha aste tushnam danatyaye. At the end of the day, under the insignificant portion of the mode of darkness, the powerful manifestation of the universe merges in the darkness of night. By the influence of eternal time, the innumerable living entities remain merged in that dissolution, and everything is silent. Purport. This verse is an explanation of the night of Brahma, which is the effect of the influence of time in touch with an insignificant portion of the modes of material nature in darkness. The dissolution of the three worlds is affected by the incarnation of darkness, Rudra, represented by the fire of eternal time, which blazes over the three worlds. These three worlds are known as Bhuva, and Sva, Patala, Marcha, and Svarga. The innumerable living entities merge into that dissolution which appears to be the dropping of the curtain of the scene of the Supreme Lord's energy, and so everything becomes silent. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gunam Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shim Vishakam Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Vishatamine. So this material world is going on very systematically. Part of the Lord's arrangement to rectify us rebellious souls who foolishly gave up His service. It's not that Krishna is disconnected from this material world. Krishna is fully present. Therefore, if one takes the process of Krishna consciousness, you can experience Krishna right here, right now, in full. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena Santaksadaivarida Yeshu Valoka Yanti Yam Shamashundaram Chintyagunas Parupam Govindamadi Purusham Damaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shamasundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with a savage love. What about us poor neophytes? We're not there yet. We're not seeing Krishna, we're seeing Melbourne. Well, there's hope for us. It's called sadhana bhakti, the wonderful process given by Prabhupada. Sadhana bhakti process. You hear about Krishna, you chant Hare Krishna, you talk about Krishna, you bow down to Krishna, you honor the shot of Krishna, you take shelter of the bona fide guru who represents Krishna, you take shelter of the association of devotees. In this way, gradually, the spell of Maya subsides, and you'll be able to directly experience Krishna at every minute. That's the goal. Actually, Prabhupada ordered me like that. One of my treasured personal instructions from Prabhupada, he said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. Thank you for that order, Prabhupada. Now bless me. Please help me, Prabhupada. I can achieve it. That's the goal. We want to get back to Krishna. That's the whole goal of this process. We want to get back to Krishna. We've been separated from Krishna since time immemorial. Actually, but originally we're not of this place. We're not of this material world. We're inhabitants of the spiritual sky. We're spiritual sky vasis. We're not material world vasis. We're spiritual sky vasis. This is not our home. We're imagining it. It's our home. As that old saying, home, sweet home. I remember years ago I was working in one company called Chilton Corporation. And it was Christmas time. We were in Texas, Dallas. So somebody was from Detroit, and they were going home for Christmas. I'm going back to the Holy Land. You see, the place of one's birth is considered very dear. Where I grew up, where I rode my little tricycle around the block, you see, it's considered very sacred place. This is all just imagination. You see. We have no home. This place comes and it goes. With every inhalation and exhalation. Even before that, just every time Brahman gets sleepy, there's a partial devastation. Every time he takes rest, there's a partial devastation. So we shouldn't be so attached to this place. We shouldn't be so attached to our bodily conception of the self. We should just let it go. Rupa Goswami advises. Just let it go. Let it go. It's not you. You're not that lump of flesh and blood. It's not you. When you look in the mirror, that's not you. It's just a covering. It's just a covering in the actual self, sitting within, dying to be born, waiting to be born. We have to come out of the shell. You see, now we're ugly caterpillars. We're meant to become beautiful butterflies, you see? So to speak, not literally. So to speak. Dharma gives that example. So it's time for the metamorphosis. It's time for that transformation of consciousness. It's time to evolve from material consciousness into pure Krishna consciousness. That's what this human life is for. It's to awaken your Krishna consciousness. So therefore we have to take it very seriously. This reality that we're in a diseased state. We have consciousness cancer right now. We have a cancerous consciousness. polluted for millions of lifetimes with bodily identification. So now we have to understand, I'm really sick. I'm very, very diseased. I'm crazy. I'm a madman. I'm totally, completely bonkers. I'm insane. I'm insane. I have to come out of this madness. I need a spiritual master. I need scriptures. I need the association of devotees to bring me out of this psychosis that I've totally embraced as reality. Is it? In this way, we have to understand our position. We have to send this cancerous consciousness into remission. Once and for all, finish it. It reminds me of Prabhupada one time on the walk in Venice Beach in Los Angeles. Prabhupada was talking with our Sarup Damodar, who always played the role of the scientist, to have let Prabhupada smash the scientists. He would give the scientist's view, and then Prabhupada would smash. That was the whole thing. He would play the role of the scientist. So Prabhupada was talking about sex life. Prabhupada said, the position of the sex, but how nasty it is. So Sarup Damodar playing the role of the scientist, he said, but Prabhupada, how to continue the species? And Prabhupada said, you finish it, this condemned world. So, of course, he's not saying that householders can't have Krishna conscious children. You have to understand in a balanced way. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said he's prepared to have sex 100 times, even though he needs strict brahmacharis. But besides that, producing Krishna conscious children, we don't have any duty just to propagate this nonsense human civilization which is based on sense gratification. That's the point. Meshuk Buddha's Krishna conscious children just remain brahmachari, whether you're married or unmarried. And Meshuk Buddha's Krishna conscious children just stay, don't have sex. That's the point. Sex is only for one purpose, and that is produce Krishna conscious children. Otherwise, don't mess with sex. It has one purpose. It's not for recreation, it's for procreation, godly children. So in this way, Prabhupada is making them more. We really have to detach ourselves in this way. As long as we remain attached to this material world, just like Prabhupada gave the example of the cosmonaut, the Soviet cosmonaut circling the globe. Every time you would come over Russia, you would look down, oh, where is my Moscow? We have to become detached in this stuff. We have to become detached. As long as you remain attached to anything in this material world, you will take birth in this material world. Krishna will satisfy you. Krishna will do that. You're attached to something here, Krishna says, okay, I'll satisfy you. You can have that. Take birth again for that thing. So we have to learn how to gradually, or as quickly as possible actually, come to the stage known as Asakti. That's the stage where pure bhakti begins. Asakti means attachment. On the stage on which we are totally, purely, 100%, completely attached to Krishna and nothing else. That's the stage we should be going for. So how do you get there? This is described by Rupa Goswami. The first thing is you have to have faith in the process. I think this is a good process. I hear all about Prabhupada and amazing transcendental theater, and I see so many devotees who are following Prabhupada's instructions and becoming liberated from all anxieties. They're becoming full of so much love and compassion. They're becoming so enlightened with spiritual knowledge. So therefore, I have faith. This must be something good. And I'm trying it a little bit and experimenting with it, and wow, it's really doing some cool numbers on my consciousness. So that gives me faith. All right, let's go a little deeper. Test number one, passed. Now let's take it and go another step further. And wow, that now another step. In this way, you have to have faith in the process. And then the next thing is you have to have the association of devotees. Like-minded souls are very important because, as Krishna points out, sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed according to his association. If you associate with materialists, you will be a paka materialist. If you associate with spiritualists, you will become spiritually enlightened. So you have to choose your association very wisely. Very wisely. Any association with non-devotees that we're obliged to have, you be the leader. Don't be the follower. You have to be the leader. Even if you're a brand new devotee, you just came, this is your first day to the temple. Any mundane association that you have to deal with in your daily life, you understand that you are the leader because you are more Krishna conscious. You have to be the leader, not the follower. So in this way, properly associate with devotees, and the next stage is called bhajana kriya, when you take up the activities of devotional service. You chant the beads, you take the shadam, you give up illicit sex life, immediate intoxication and gambling, you take shelter of the spiritual master, you get initiated, you become obedient to his instructions. This is called bhajana kriya. This then leads you, as you follow the spiritual master's instructions, as you follow Prabhupada's books, as you work as a cooperative member of the spiritual family, the ISKCON devotees, who are all the followers of Prabhupada. In this way, by taking up this process, gradually so much lust, so much anger, so much greed that is accumulated over millions and billions of lifetimes, it starts to fly off, it just starts to go away, it starts evaporating away from your heart. And then gradually you achieve a stage called anartana vritti, where Prabhupada says, now you're 75% pure. You see? Now you get the momentum going, you see. Anartana vritti is a very, very auspicious point. Now you've got your momentum going, you see. Once you get to that point, it's 75% purity in anartana vritti. Now you're going full steam ahead, you see. Not looking back to sense gratification anymore. It's an identity. Bye-bye sense gratification. Breaking up. My Devi, love affair is over. You're not my girlfriend anymore, that's it. It's an identity. Prabhupada says after an identity, it's not a struggle anymore. If you're still struggling in your sadhana, you haven't got to an identity yet. You're struggling. You haven't reached the Anartana Vritti. After Anartana Vritti, there's no more struggle. It's like you're going from point A to point B. This town to this town, there's a huge mountain range between. So going up. Anartana Vritti is when you get to the top, now just glide down to the next. So you got to be, how to get to Anartana Vritti, you got to be really fired up. Utsaham. You got to be full of enthusiasm. Yeah. I'm going to get rid of this dirt. I'm going to purify myself. Get rid of this false ego, this egocentrism, this selfishness, this greediness, this laziness. I'm going to kick it out. I'm sick and tired of it. It's done nothing but bewilder me and torture me for millions of lifetimes. I want to get rid of it. See, that kind of determination. Get that crud out of my consciousness. See, that kind of fighting mood you have to have. Got to be a fighter, kshatriya spirit, fighting your anartas. And then finally, when you get to that point, anartana vritti, there's no more struggle. It's just like, wow. It's like an American baseball game. Sometimes they hit a ball out of the park completely. And the player he runs around the four bases. There's no struggle because he's already hit the ball out of the park. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, anything. It's like a celebration, walking, running the four bases. The ball went out of the park, and I just, howdy, Paul, howdy, Paul. So anartha-vritti is like that. There's no struggle. You're still engaged. You're still making progress. But now it's practically automatic after the anartha-vritti state. It becomes automatic. It just becomes like, you know, wow. Then you get to the stage called nama-ruchi, where the name is so sweet. You can just dive into it for millions of lifetimes. Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just going deeper, 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 deeper into Krishna Nam, Krishna Nam, Krishna Nam. You can chant for hours, or you can do anything. You can do service. If someone asks you to polish all the brass on the altar, you can spend 10 million years polishing the brass in complete ecstasy. You can take any type of devotional activity and just merge into ecstasy doing that service. You go out on book distribution, stay out of book distribution for 10,000 years in complete ecstasy. Any service, it wouldn't matter. You could just embrace that service and dive into, now I'm connecting with Krishna. Krishna has appeared in the form of this devotional service. He's blessed me. Now we just go deeper, deeper into the rasa, bhakti rasa. This is called ruchi. And from there, then, not when you become completely, totally addicted, head over heels, hopelessly, completely addicted to Krishna, that is the beginning of pure bhakti. That's the bhakti stage. And from there, you automatically start to have these awakenings of emotions, the bhava stage, when you start to feel the emotions of your eternal svarup. And then you actually become situated in your eternal svarup of the Krishnas. Because this is the Raga Bhakti platform. It's not for us. Don't try to jump artificially there. That is called sahajya. He's imagining that he's a gopi girl and he's kissing Krishna. You can't go there. Don't try to jump. You become the sold-out servant of your spiritual master. Sadhana Bhakti. That's how you become qualified to someday come to the stage when you actually become awakened and realize your eternal relationship with Krishna and your Svarupa. So in this way, we have to take this process joyfully, expectantly, hopefully, cheerfully, and patiently, and we will achieve the goal. So are there any questions? Here's one. How to be straightforward in one's dealing while maintaining humility and respect for every living entity? Honesty is the best policy. And the devotee is always, he's very honest. This is one of the qualities of a Vaishnava. That is being respectful, to be honest, to tell someone the honest truth is being respectful. Sometimes when a devotee corrects me, I think he's being disrespectful, but actually just being honest. Prabhu, you're doing that wrong. He's not being disrespectful to me. His honesty is actually his respect for me. How to remain consistent in sadhana bhakti? Please give some practical tips. Mangal arti, mangal arti, mangal arti. Every day. At home or the temple. You can't come here, you do it at home. You get up and sing the Gavastakam chant and do a little puja. You don't have to have deities, photographs are okay. Offer, you have Prabhupada, Panchatattva, Radhakrishna, your Guru Maharaj, you see, if you're initiated, aspiring. And this way, do a little puja, Gavastakam chant. You have Mangalarti every day without fail. you're going to make become develop a habit on this consistency, which will carry you across the Virajā river into the Parivyama, the spiritual sky. We tell new people that when they chant Hare Krishna, it would make them peaceful and happy. However, when we analyze our own lives, most of the time it's not as peaceful. There's a lot of struggle. How then do we tell them for that to chant with conviction? Well, why don't you come to the Anartha Nivritti stage? Why? What are you waiting for? Why are you holding yourself back? Why don't you get serious about this process? So you've been, your preaching is more potent. Why don't you learn to really relish the bliss of Krishna? So when you tell people, it's really blissful when you chant Hare Krishna, it's coming from deep, deep within you, not just some PR. You should develop the qualities yourself. Why are you waiting? Why are you holding back? There's no reason to hold back. We hear that devotee is happy to take birth after birth, so long as he can live in bhakta sangha and engage in devotional service. And on the other hand, we hear we should desire to go back to Goloka Vrindavan and engage in Radha Krishna seva. How do we understand? Yes. It is Prabhupada, I've read somewhere, I've looked for it again, it's somewhere in the, I think it's the Bhagavatam purport, I forget where, but I read it years ago. Prabhupada said the desire to go back to Godhead is in the mode of goodness. So it's a favorable desire. But actually the higher position is simply let me be engaged in devotional service. As confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Najanam nisundarim kavitam vigadi shakarmiye mama janmani janmani shvade bhavatad bhaktira haite ki tvai. I have no desire for wealth, for women or followers, nor do I even want to go back to home, back to Godhead. Simply I want to be engaged in devotional service. Guess what? When you really embrace that mood, you're already back to Godhead. So just embrace that mood of completely being absorbed in Krishna's service. Even if I have to take birth after birth, I don't mind. This is one thing that the initiating gurus have to do, according to Prabhupada's teachings. One who gives diksha to someone, he's obliged to take birth after birth until all of his disciples go back to Godhead. So the spiritual master has to be transcendental to this idea that I'm out here to get out of here. No. He has to think, how can I serve? That's all. He can't think, I have to get out of here. No. He has to think, I have to serve and serve and serve. Every person who's taken shelter of me, I have to serve them. Even if it takes 100 births, I have to remain here and serve and serve and serve all these disciples. Scripture is constantly criticizing engaged in sex life. And you were also mentioning in your class when you explained what are the detrimental effects of illicit sex. Bodily consciousness. As long as you're attached to sex, you cannot give up your consciousness of bodily identification. Impossible. Impossible. You can't say, yeah, I know my body. You go down to the prostitute house, yeah, I'm not my body. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. You cannot get free of bodily identification as long as you unnecessarily engage your senses in sense gratification. There are many similarities between socialism and Mahaprabhu's movement of Vaishnavism. Therefore, can we say we are partly socialist? We are the best socialists. We are the ultimate. The perfection of socialism is Krishna consciousness. Why partly? We are the perfection of socialism here. If I don't associate with non-devotees, my career would be affected. So what's the solution? Be their leader. Be their leader. A devotee who goes on book distribution, he associates with non-devotees all day as their leader. So wherever you are, you should be the leader. You should show the example. You may not be able to preach to them, but you show them the example. Just like I was working, I've many times told this story, some of you may not have heard it. I was working at MCI Corporation in the U.S. doing telesales. I was actually just working part-time and earning good commissions. It was all we needed to support pay our rent, that I was working part-time. You know, to get hired, you put a coat and tie, you cover up your neck beads with a coat and tie, you know, the collar and the tie. You shave, you know, you let your hair grow out a little bit, you don't wear, you put water T-lock on that day when you go up to the end, you know. So there I was working with a tie and then I had a sikka, but my hair was growing out and all that. So, was I shaved up? I don't remember. And I worked in it. I wasn't shaved at all. But anyway, no tilak. But I was thinking, you know, I just couldn't stand not wearing tilak, because, you know, I've been wearing tilak for, you know, for decades. I've been wearing tilak every day, and wherever I go, tilak, 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 you know. So it was just intolerable for me. But one day I said, that's it, I'm wearing tilak to work. I don't care what happens, tilak today. Today is tilak day. So that day I was so fired up, I was closing one sale after another sale. My supervisor, he gets paid commissions on my sales. And he was like, wow, Mr. Bridges is really cooking today. He came up, he said, I don't know, he said, Mr. Bridge, I don't, like Bridge Bossy, it's a cool, it's harmony. He said, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on you must wear it every day. So try to make a revolution. If you go out there, you can put a Bhagavad Gita on your desk, and on your coworkers, make them in the break time. Say, what is that book you have there? I think there's some rules in Australia, you can't preach in the workplace, or something like that. Just have a book there. Try to find innovative, you know, put it, prasadam cookies once a week in the break room, you know. Be innovative. Do something to be a revolutionary wherever you work. Find some way to be an undercover revolutionary, Agent 008. Have fun with it. Okay. Even if we were to be beyond anartha-nivritti, will we still not have to struggle? No. Prabhupada says, after anartha-nivritti, there's no struggle. Prabhupada said that, and we have faith in Prabhupada's vision. You got your momentum. Your momentum, once you get to anartha-nivritti, the momentum of your bhakti is far more powerful than the momentum of the whole material society. So you won't have a problem with it. You can go anywhere and not be affected, because the flow of bhakti within your heart is going so strong that now you're having an uplifting impact on the entire universe just by your presence within it. That's an anartha-nivritti. What's the balance of material and spiritual life? There's a verse about that, actually. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vidyo vyom saha. One must... Yushapanishad mantra 11. There must be that balance. So, I would say 80% spiritual and 20% material. The 80-20 rule will bring in. The 80-20 rule, that's proper balance. 80-20. Please explain how we become envious of Krishna. Now, we're once in the spiritual world. This is a question we often get. How could the pure soul ever fall down? Prabhupada very simply states it is a misuse of independence. There has to be independence, otherwise we're just robots. Krishna does not want robot association. Robot association is not association. He doesn't want robots, therefore he has given us a nature called tatastha, situated on the border, a borderline consciousness. They can go, we have a free choice. We can go to matter or to spirit. We can serve Krishna or we can leave Krishna. Tatastha, consciousness, situated on the border. So we have a choice. Krishna says, you can go this way or that way, it's your choice. So most living entities, the vast majority of living entities, properly utilize that choice. However, since the choice is there to go the other way, there's always the possibility that somebody will misuse the choice. And with that possibility, there's a certain probability that somebody will misuse that choice. The probability, of course, would be the smallest possible number, one divided by infinity. That would be the probability of a jiva soul misusing his independence, one over infinity. If you take 1/infinity and multiply it times infinity, which is the number of jivas in the spiritual sky, what does that equal? I'll ask our many mathematicians here. What is 1/infinity times infinity? I'll give you the answer. I made straight A's in that. The answer is infinity. So, even though the odds of falling down are infinitesimal to the greatest degree of infinitesimalness, there is an infinite number of living entities who actually blow it, who misuse their independence, and come here to Melbourne and the rest of the material world. So we were one of those who did it, and it's mathematically provable that it can happen. So it did, and here we are. And now we have to just get out. It's not so important to find out how you got here. If you find an arrow is embedded in your chest, what will you do? Will you seek out who shot it, or will you pull it out? What will be the first priority? To seek out who shot this arrow in my chest. I got blood coming out, walking right around with the arrow. Who shot this arrow? How did this arrow get in my chest? No, pull the arrow out. That's your priority. Get out of material consciousness. Get back to pure bhakti. Then you'll easily understand what happened. You see, how you fell down in the material world. Just get back to home, back to God, and then you fully understand, yeah. I was sitting there with Krishna and he's popping a glove jam in his mouth. I was thinking, why couldn't it be going into my mouth? You're impatient. You wanted to have that glove jam instead of Krishna having a glove jam. Something happened, you know. Some little thought carried you away and you went into some dreamland where you could have unlimited glove jams whenever you wanted them. So you thought. Turned out to be not so. Not exactly what you thought. When you ended up with it. Okay. How do we know whether we are actually feeling happy in Krishna consciousness or the mind is simply throwing chemicals that makes us happy? When you have no more material attachments, when you're not attracted by the material energy, especially sex life is the number one attraction. When you're free of all these attractions and distractions, then you know that you're really happy in Krishna consciousness. Krishna knows everything, then why did he not save Arjuna, or Arjuna's son, from the battlefield? There's a whole, all these pastimes have transcendental purposes. Sometimes we hear from senior devotees different opinions and views on philosophical points in Krishna consciousness philosophy. It can be confusing, so how to understand. Read the books, and you'll see who's right and who's wrong. It's very clearly described in Prabhupada's books. If there's a difference of opinion, we're not reading Prabhupada's books carefully enough. That's all. We're not reading his books carefully enough. Why are some devotees who are disciples of Prabhupada given all respect and heard, but some are not given much importance? Well, all Prabhupada's disciples should be given importance. Even, of course, some are fixed in their vows, and some are not fixed in their vows. Some of them, they're all honorable and respectable, but those who are more fixed, they are more honorable and more respectable, obviously. How important is it for a devotee boy to marry a devotee girl? Well, it's a matter of life and death. Is this possible to go back to Godhead without coming to Mangalarti?
Somebody's looking for a loophole.
A cheating mentality will not get you back to Godhead. What is the link between physical yoga and mantra yoga? Well, physical yoga is, and at this time, in this Kali Yuga, physical yoga is for health. You're not going to become self-realized by physical yoga. Formerly, one could, actually it's described in the Dhamma Samhita. Pantastakati-shatavatsala-sampragamyo vayur-ratati-manaso-muripum-gavanam Sopyastiyat-pripapachin-yapachin-yatat-de-govindamadi-gurusham tamaham-vajani. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is achieved by the yogis and by the jnanis who aspire after the transcendental and take themselves. Oh, but the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and to take themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to emerge into the non-differentiated Brahman after thousands and millions of years. So the point is, these yogis who did the Ashtanga yoga system, it will take them thousands and millions of years to actually approach not Krishna, but somewhere near his lotus feet. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explained in his purport, the precincts, which just means nearby his lotus feet, they don't even get to touch the lotus foot of the Lord after doing the physical yoga system, Ashtanga yoga system, for millions of years. So, in the classical sense, the difference between physical yoga and mantra yoga is that physical yoga will take you millions of years to achieve far less than what you can achieve in one lifetime through mantra yoga. That's in the classical sense of the genuine physical yoga Ashtanga system. Now, as far as the Mickey Mouse yoga that's going on nowadays, it's just for your health, that's all. And it's okay for health. There's no objection. Prabhupada didn't mind his servant, what was his name? Kumara? Nanda Kumara. He was doing the shoulder stem. While he was Prabhupada's servant, he'd do a little physical yoga. Prabhupada didn't object. So the yoga is good for the health. But as far as self-realization goes, forget it. Of course, if you use it as a technique, teach physical yoga and add mantra yoga, that's called a preaching strategy, and that's good. Anything you can do to get in the chant Hare Krishna. You can have a yoga class and say, okay students, now it's time for mantra yoga and get them all into the kirtan. That's a good preaching strategy. That's a good preaching strategy. Actually, one of our sannyasis was, this is before the revolution in Iran, one of my godbrothers, a sannyasi, was teaching Hatha yoga to members of the Iranian royal family, and Prabhupada was very pleased by that. So you can use that as a preaching strategy, but as far as self-realization goes, don't be illusioned in the thinking that you can become self-realized by doing the lotus posture. Which one is better, doing a lot of service half-heartedly or doing all you can do with full heart? do a lot of service with porn. So do as much as you can. Don't be lazy. Don't be crazy. Do as much service as possible with porn. That's the key. I mean, 24 hours of service, that's enough. You can do 24 hours. How can we understand if the spiritual master comes life after life to rescue us? Why some spiritual master experienced such a heavy contact with Maya before they became devotees? Heavy contact with Maya before they became devotees in this lifetime? There's two questions here. There are some spiritual masters who were really in Maya before they became spiritual masters. I mean, really bad Maya. Narada Muni is an example. He was in really bad Maya. He was a pop singer in the heavenly planets. He was like a Beatle. His name was Uparbhana. He was a pop singer in the heavenly planets. He had all these groupies, female groupies. He would go with them wherever he went. Like people running after John Lennon, you know. He came to the Sankirtan of the demigods. They were having a Harinam Sankirtan. And he came there with all his groupies. And he was going to sing some pops. He was sort of singing some pop songs. And the demigods were furious. We curse you to become a Sudra, you rascal. And that's what happened. He became son of a Shudra boy on the earthly plane. But there was some sages nearby in the forest. There's a whole story in the Bhagavatam. But he was a really despicable character. He was a pop singer. All these women. He was a ladies' man. And he became a great Narada Muni. So yeah, it happens sometimes. Some of the gurus come from very bad backgrounds. They do. And by the grace of Krishna, see, it doesn't matter whether you're Nitya Siddha or Sadhana Siddha. Whether you're eternally liberated or you became liberated by sadhana or by kripa. If you're siddha, you're siddha. So it doesn't matter what your background is. What matters is where is that person now? That's what matters. Okay. A person has physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual needs. Less advanced I am, the more dependent I am on the material needs being fulfilled. At the same time, we can never be materially satisfied. How to gauge if I'm giving enough attention to these material needs to be stable and progress in my spiritual life? Body and soul together. Bhagavatam says we have two businesses. You have to be healthy and you have to become Krishna conscious. So if you keep yourself in good physical health, that's that much attention you must give to your body to keep yourself in good physical shape. Because if you're sick, that'll mess up your devotional service. So keep yourself in good physical health. Eat right, sleep right, you know, whatever you need to stay healthy, do that. You mentioned don't have sex if you cannot produce Krishna conscious children, so it sounds better. So it sounds, why bother getting married? Yes. Why bother getting married? And if you don't want to have Krishna conscious children, why bother getting married? That's a good point. Stay brahmachari. Really good. If one wants to marry, they can do that. Although Prabhupada didn't say if you're married, you have to have children. Our Satsa Rupa Maharaj, not before he was Maharaj, he married Jalarani. And they didn't want to have any children. And Prabhupada encouraged that, yes, if you want to remain like that, that's fine. Why Hare Krishnas are vegetarians and not vegans? Because milk is required to develop the brain tissues to understand spiritual knowledge, Prabhupada explains. We require milk about the finer brain tissues. That's why we're not vegan. We don't want to be a dull-headed vegan. We want to be a spiritually charged Vaishnava. I get attracted very easily towards the opposite sex. Okay, please help me to understand how to get attracted towards Krishna. Well, you have to understand philosophically that what is that attraction anyway? It's just blood and flesh. You know, you have your breast is there, her breast is bigger than yours. Why? What's the big deal? A breast is a breast, whether it's small or big. Whether it's a small male breast or a big female breast, what's the big deal? It's just blood and flesh. It's just some illusion, you see. It's Cupid with his arrows, you see. That's all it is. Actually, Prabhupada said this is simply so we will produce children, that's all. This sex attraction is there because if it wasn't there, nobody would go through the trouble of having children. To keep the species going, the nature is such a way that we're sexually attracted. That's the only reason it's there. Just so we will propagate. Otherwise, nobody would propagate anyone. No one would want to have children if there wasn't that pleasure of sex enjoyment. So you have to understand philosophically that it's not, you know, why it's there, and it's not you. It's just some hormones in your body. It's not really you. You're being artificially stimulated to think that you have to have this sex. But actually you don't need it. You have to become a liberated soul beyond the realm of sex pleasure. In the name of Krishna, you will derive unlimited sweetness. In sex life, there's an experience of sweetness for a few seconds, an intense pleasure like a demigod, but the demigods are also in a suffering condition. You have to go beyond the sex pleasure to the pleasure of Krishna Nam, the pleasure of Vaishnava Sangha, the pleasure of Guru Ashraya. You have to find that higher pleasure. I am a student and studies load is too much. Devotees are asking me to come for lectures, but I'm feeling very hard to take time out of my busy schedule. How shall I balance both lives? You have to work harder, that's all I can say. Don't be lazy. I can give you a tip. The more you're Krishna conscious, the easier you'll be able to do anything Krishna. So if your studies are actually with the goal of having supported Krishna conscious lifestyle, you're sincerely wanting to be able to support a nice Krishna conscious lifestyle for yourself, which is a bona fide desire, you understand why you're studying, that you're for the sake of Krishna consciousness. You see? If you forget, you just get into some mudha consciousness, like an ass with a huge burden of books, you see, then you'll have difficulty. But if you understand what is the purpose of this study, then you can, it will become easier. I remember just my own life, a student, before I became a devotee, a college student, you know, A's, B's, C's. Sometimes I mean, it's okay. I was on the dean's list, but it was a struggle. I looked at my high school. I looked at my old grades, A's, B's, C's. I wasn't that great. But actually, when I became a devotee as a grihastha, I was taking some training, different courses, for, you know, vocational purposes. And I was making straight A's after I became Krishna conscious. I found it much easier as a devotee. Even academics became much easier when I was Krishna conscious than before I was Krishna conscious. Because now you understand the purpose of everything that you're doing, and it all makes sense, it all fits together. So if you see everything in relationship with Krishna, anything you do becomes easy. All my past addictions are gone. However, Jai, I worship your lotus feet. However, my addiction to internet, wouldn't go on the name of Krishna consciousness. I spoil hours on it. Please advise. Well, first thing is, don't turn on your computer until your rounds are done. That's the first thing. We can use the computer for Krishna's service. We can use the internet in Krishna's service. But don't you dare look at any porn. If you do, we're going to take your computer and throw it in the garbage can. Don't you dare look at any porn. You can use it for Krishna. You have to be very, very responsible. The internet is a powerful tool. I'm using it every day to reach thousands of people all over the world. I have 16,000 people in my e-course. It's a powerful tool. A powerful weapon, like a machine gun, it can be very effective or it can be very destructive also. So any powerful tool, you have to be very careful how you utilize it, otherwise it will be your enemy. What is nishtha? Nishtha means to be fixed, solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. Okay, this is no more questions, we're going to end here at 9. If we have no sex desires, but still being attracted to the qualities of men, is that this still Maya? The thing is, we should become attracted to, yes, it is Maya. It's subtle. We should become attracted to the qualities of a Vaishnava, the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. There are men who have those qualities, there are women who have those qualities. That's what we should be attracted to. We should be attracted to the Vaishnava qualities. It can be a man or woman who have them, it doesn't matter. Those Vaishnava qualities are attractive no matter who has them. But we're attracted to the feminine qualities. Oh, feminine quality. Oh, that feminine quality, how attractive. Or that masculine quality. No. This is soul sex. Look out. What is the significance of the Sikha? This marks us as Vaishnavas. The Buddhists shave their heads completely bald and we keep this Sikha. This means we are Chaitanyaites. It's cool, man. It's really cool. It's fashionable. It's very fashionable. Even the barbers there in America, they have, you go to the barber and say, I want a temple cut today. And give you a shaved head with a Sikha. It's cool. So, you want to be cool, you got to have a Sikha. It means you're a follower of Prabhupada, really. It's a sign that you're a follower of Prabhupada. It's really a cool thing to have. Even if you have to wear your hair, you know, for your job or whatever, grow a little Sikha. It's really cool. Reminds you of who you actually are, to maintain your Sikha when you go to the barber. Make sure to, don't cut this off. It reminds you of who you actually are, keeping that Sikha. So we recommend all the men should have Sikha. It's a very nice thing. Prabhupada rather humorously states in his purport that Krishna grabs it to take you back to Godhead. The body is left behind, so it's Prabhupada's sense of humor sometimes. But the principle is, Sikha will help you go back to Godhead. It reminds you that you're the eternal servant of Krishna. Prabhupada had a Sikha. If it's good enough for Prabhupada, it's good enough for me. There's an old song like that in America called Old Time Religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. If it's good enough for Jesus, like that. So if it's good enough for Prabhupada, it's good enough for Prabhupada. If it's good enough for Prabhupada, it's good enough for me. Sikha. In this way. Why we need to do Harinam outside the temple? Because people are going down to the animal kingdom. These human beings right now in Melbourne, in their next life, they're going to be dogs, cats, monkeys, mice, cockroaches, etc. Do you have any compassion on your Melbourneites? Do you care about them? Do you love them? Then go on Harinam. Save them, the holy power of the holy name. Save them. That's the way to go on Harinam. To save these people. And that is the best meditation for our own Krishna consciousness as well. If you want to know what is the holy name, really get a deep, deep taste for the holy name, go on Harinam, and now then you really know it is the holy name. You say, well, I'll only chant in the temple, I won't go on the street. You're not going to get the taste of the holy name. Do it in the temple with great enthusiasm, like that incredibly enlivening kirtan this morning. Do incredible enlivening kirtans in the temple, and then take those temples out. Take those kirtans and make the whole Melbourne into a temple by kirtan in every corner. You see? Every neighborhood do kirtan. You see? And this way make a revolution. So we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much. So I do have my book available here if anybody wants a copy. This is a handbook on how to be Krishna conscious and how to preach very effectively. There are arguments here that you can use to preach very effectively and turn the non-devotees into devotees. This is from my e-course, The Cream of the Crop, the questions and answers from my e-course. People write me questions every day. My whole day is spent answering questions every day. That's my pastime. I'm a question answerer for Krishna. So we've taken the cream of the crop of these questions and put them in this book, Truth Works, because if it's true, it works. You see, we know Krishna consciousness is true because it works. By this process, you will realize God. You will come directly in contact with God. That's why we know it's a bona fide process, because this brings you into direct contact with Krishna, the Supreme Person, the source of all existence. So this book is available, and if anybody wants to get it, we'll give you a little written blessing and a signature. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
His Grace Srimad Sankarshan Dasa Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.